for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1 and a 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation.
The podcast.
We are here, back again.
Once again.
In your ear canal.
All in your ear hole.
Making noise.
Bird up.
Talking shit.
Like a motherfucker.
Drinking alcohol.
Not really.
Loitering. Loitering. Tagging up on your motherfucking eardrum. We're here though. I appreciate you selecting, you know, to sit down with us for a little bit.
Bird up.
We in the building. Another week in the books. How was your weekend, young man?
My week was pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Nothing that I could actually point out.
No.
Nah, I just was doing a lot of paperwork, a lot of planning and transitioning and shit. So I wasn't outside. Yeah. I'll say that.
Okay.
And that's actually my goal this week is to get outside.
Get out the house.
Not just out the house. I've been out the house, but outside, like, you know what I'm saying? Fucking around, like in the mix.
In the mix.
Yeah.
You got anything planned yet, or you just gonna poke your head into a few different things?
Yeah, I don't even know what I gotta do. I just know I need to be outside in the mix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's funny to get in the mix if you feel like an outsider. Not that you're an outsider, but like if you haven't been in there in a while or out in the world a while, sometimes.
It ain't been that long. I'm just saying.
Well, there you go. I was just saying.
You know, I just need to get out. I've been stuck in front of the computer, stuck, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Getting some shit done.
I hear you.
And it's time to, you know what I'm saying, shake some hands and talk some shit.
Okay. That's what's up.
Heard up.
Yeah. I was outside a little bit. I had a bunch of shows this weekend, so I did
that. Yeah, shows in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I'm out there quite a bit. Eastville's been showing me love for a while. You can find out where I'm going to be at, DamianLemon.com. I put the shows up. I've been pretty diligent about posting them shows, trying to, you know, be consistent, keep the people who want to be supporters with the information that they need. So I did that. That was a good time. But then, also, I hit the Feast of San Gennaro 1 week, because that just kicked off this weekend.
What's that?
That's the little food festival in Italy that's been going forever.
Yeah. I walked through there. I got jammed up last year.
Uh-huh.
I was headed to a shoot, and it was in that area.
Yeah.
And I had to, you know, maneuver, and I was kind of late fucking around. Uh-huh. And, you know, them streets be jammed up back there.
Yeah.
So I'm dodging and shaking, you know what I'm saying, and trying to slide through. And I got through, but I was like, damn, I really want to kick it out here, but you know what I'm saying, I got shit to do.
Nah, it's popping. It's still going. I think it's going on for at least a week. Yeah, I ran through there during the day. I might want to do a little San Gennaro After Dark situation, too, just because it's a vibe. It's fun. You know, it's a lot of people out there. The food is good. The food is good. You ever wake up with the intent to, not to eat some bullshit, but you like, yo, I'm about to eat good today, so I might not even do no breakfast. I'm just, you know, on some Thanksgiving type shit. You like, you know what? I'm starving myself because I'm destination eating.
No doubt.
So I went out there, got a sausage and peppers just because I feel like that's the move. That's a very traditional move. That's one of my favorite situations at that type of food festival, street festival shit. So I went, got the sausage and peppers, and then I found out about some spot where they were doing they were doing like these fried Oreos. You know, they've been doing that for years, but they fried like these rainbow cookies. Just in every, like most of the, you know, the fried Oreo thing been going on for probably like, I'd say 20 years at least now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Anywhere where they doing some, you know, any type of food festival, there's some, at least one or two stands that got some fried Oreos. But they were doing these fried rainbow cookies. I'm not even a big
rainbow cookie.
You've seen the rainbow cookie. You've seen them plenty of times, but you bite
that. They like crumbly, like?
They look crumbly. Because that's the thing with like a lot of Italian pastry. The shit almost look better than it tastes, in my opinion. Shout out to the Italians, you know what I mean? But like, the shits be type dry a lot of times.
You're supposed to take it with coffee or some shit.
That, okay, yeah, but they don't always tell you that. You know what I mean? And if you a kid, when you introduced to it, you might not even have coffee as an option.
And then, you know, America just, we just got this, the sugar bug. You know what I'm saying?
We fucked
up. Most other cookies, they call biscuits in other places.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They not as sweet. And then, right. You know what I'm saying? You eat an American cookie, that shit is sweet.
It's pumped up. It's mad sugar in that shit. That's true. That's hilarious. They are called biscuits.
Biscuits.
They manage your expectations crackers. From the door. Listen, man, these are biscuits, my guy. You know I know they got all of these colors on them and all of these sprinkles. And all of this frosting, but trust me, that shit is drier than a motherfucker. So, the rainbow cookie, you've seen it before. I think it's the Italian flag.
Yeah, I think I've seen
it. Yeah, you've seen it. And it's typically, I don't want to say it was a dry cookie, but whatever. It's not one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard somebody raving about, yo, nah, you got to go to this one spot. They got the fried rainbow cookies. Them shits are crazy. So I went there, and it was fantastic. I don't know if they were dry beforehand or whatever, or the frying did something to it, but when they fried it up, that shit tastes like cake. Like, it was soft as fuck. It was banging. So I did that, man. I did that one night, and then...
You need your food show, man.
I know, man. I should.
What are you doing?
I watch all the food shows. Yeah, I probably should. That's why I don't do it, because I feel like I'd be infringing, but I guess I eat, too. That's how I feel about a lot of this type of shit. Hey, man.
They don't eat like you. They not going to break it down like you. You know
they don't
saying?
Eat terribly.
Nobody would have said that. You know what I'm saying? Nobody going to just go to Memphis for the fried chicken.
Nah, I didn't go just for the fried chicken.
I mean, I know people do, but you know what I'm saying? You have a take.
Right.
That would be unique.
Right, right. True indeed. I should do
you know
that.
What I'm saying? So showrunners, you know.
Holla at your boy.
Yeah.
Taking some meetings too, actually. I did that. What else did I do? I seen Hustlers this weekend.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I heard it was good because I didn't want to see it at first.
Yeah.
But I heard it was good. I heard J Lo did her thing.
J Lo, this is this might be like J Lo's like coronation as a all the way official OG that she's been moving. Like for years and moving ass for years, but I felt like on screen this might be the look that she kind of needed to put her in that not conversation as like actor thespian OG, but just like she always kind of moved bossed up. You know what I'm saying? Like J Lo
been rich a long time.
She been rich a long time. Besides, she's just rich, but it's like. It's how she moved. Because there's a lot of rich people that are, you know, they kind of, she got like a chutzpah about her. You know what I mean? That kind of.
She moved like a diva, but she tried to keep the veneer,
the hood
Jenny
sensibility.
From the block. You know what I'm saying? She tried to keep her hood sensibility on point.
Right.
But she's definitely in the diva category.
Right, right. And I think, she don't downplay either.
Right.
She there, but you going to treat her as such. You know what I'm saying? There's that. So there's that. But, the movie was cool, man. The movie was fun. I'm seeing people call it like a female Goodfellas. I think
that's a bit much.
That's a lot. I would love to see a female Goodfellas. This one ain't it. This is fun. This is a heist. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker's getting over and shit like that. But, yeah, shit was cool, man. She was bossed up throughout the whole shit from like when she first come in, you know, obviously you know the story, you know what I mean? From the New York, well, it's a story about.
I mean, what, but the robbing the dude. Man, I know that from the trailer, whatever.
Go ahead. So, so basically the story is based on this New York Magazine article about a group of strippers that kind of started right around the time of the financial crisis, you know, strip club. Attendance was kind of at a low, you know what I mean? Because they had that same disposable income, so everybody was feeling it, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of strippers was resorting to just, you know, doing some backroom antics, you know what I mean? Selling head and all of that type of shit. But those that weren't looking to do that, they were kind of damn near assed out, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow they basically masterminded the situation where they would kind of oftentimes meet their target outside the club. You know what I mean? Like on some old, just like a regular ass date. We at the bar, Bossy Skip. Oh yeah, my homegirls is gonna show up. Homegirls show up, they the party. Yeah, oh, your homegirls are bad, da 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 da. Let's do some shots. We're gonna hit you with the you ain't even know it in your shot. Mm-hmm. You know? Now the you ain't even know it is a mix of ketamine and MDMA. So I guess the MDMA turn you up, and the ketamine kind of erase your memory, right? And like you're on some Weekend in Bernie's type shit, depending on the cocktail of it. So there's a, I don't want to fuck the whole shit up. There's one little cool scene where you kind of, they just basically dragging this motherfucker in there. Like, you know what I mean? They bringing them in there and they bring you to the back room and then, you know, they party with you. You fall out, they charge out your card and they split that shit. And they just going through cash, just killing them. They making, you know, maybe $5,000-$10,000 a clip between maybe four or whatever. But so that was the story of that. And obviously they were taken down or whatever. So it was based on a real story. So the movie's told through the Constance Wu character. Constance Wu's from Fresh Off the Boat. She's from Crazy Rich Asians. She's kind of the lead in the story. She's like a new stripper, new to the game, you know what I mean? She's trying to kind of find her way. And J-Lo, she plays the stripper named Ramona. And which is not a stripper name.
But it's a good old Puerto Rican name.
Is it?
I mean, this is like a good Hispanic name for somebody round the way. Oh, that's Ramona. You got to go see Ramona.
I don't know if I know any...
I don't chicks. Know. Hey, listen, the go guy ahead. Continue.
With, you know, it shout out. Yeah, but you know, Ramona's a name.
Yeah.
So she play a stripper named Ramona. She, when they bring her out, she's the dundada in the club. She gets crazy with it. You know what I mean? Does a whole little show, whatever, whatever. You know, obviously J-Lo 50 and she killing them. So there's that part of, damn, she's killing them. She don't get all the way naked. Nobody that is, you know, top built go all the way out. You know,
because it's New York.
Nah, it's not because it's New York, because it's J-Lo and Constance Wu, and they like, nah, we ain't doing all
they
of that.
They couldn't have this movie in Miami.
Yo, that, but you know what, that kind of, well, I'm going to get into that because I want to have that conversation. But so J-Lo comes out, smashes it, mad money thrown. You know, they do the whole thing. And how they bring her in, she's chilling on a, chilling on the rooftop after she just bodied it, right? She's chilling on the rooftop, sitting in a mink coat outside on the roof, smoking a cigarette, diamonds up, you know what I mean? Just really looking like boss, right? And then Constance Wu come up, you know, trying to get some game. And she's like, yo, where your coat at? She's like, I don't have a coat. J-Lo like, yo, come sit under my mink. So that sets the tone for how you supposed to, you view J-Lo. This is how she's moving through. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought it was a kind of a cool parallel to, you know, she's an inspiration to a lot of women that I know. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so it's like, well, she's been in this game at least 25 years now, maybe something like that, 20-something. I don't know when Money Train came out. Matt, let me know when Money Train came out. She's been in the game for a while. It's inspired quite a few people. So you could kind of see some of the women she may have arguably inspired. Like Cardi B, you know what I mean, makes a cameo in there.
She just did a cameo?
Well, she pops up. She got a couple scenes. Kiki Palmer, a couple scenes. She's in the movie Lizzo, you know what I mean? Which was kind of cool because Lizzo, I think, just had the number one song in the country maybe a week or two ago. Might still be, I'm not sure, but like she's boiling hot, you know what I mean? Cardi been on, like, it just felt like this shit hit, like, yeah, it all came together. The plan was nice. You know, Constance Wu coming off of Crazy Rich Asians. You know what I mean? Like, it was, it felt very Ocean's 11 type of shit, you know? So, overall, the movie was fun. You know what I'm saying?
You had fun.
It was chill. It was a cool movie. Shout out to my man Dove David, Dove, comedian. He's in there. John Glazer's in there. My man Big J Okerson. This was kind of dope. You know, it's a strip club movie, right? So when they, at the end, when it leaves, you know, they got, they're rolling the credits, and they got my man Big J Okerson, who's a comedian, a very funny dude. He's doing, like, the, strip club MC shit. All right, y'all. So you got to da 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 da. And I thought that was a kind of cool little thing.
That's made an important role.
Yeah, that shit. But it kind of made it a little bit more ill. Like it was a different like afterthought. Like, all right, that was kind of fly.
You got to be sipping, tipping, or dipping.
What's the date? 93?
95.
All right, so yeah, 95. Yeah, 20. Yeah, damn near 25 years. Yeah, but overall the shit was cool. There's the base opinion of it could have been a little bit more graphic because this is a movie about stripping, but you know, obviously this is a popcorn movie, and that's the conversation. I was talking to my man. Shout out to my man Wes Manchild. He had tweeted some shit like, "I never thought I'd see the day when I'd be tired of
a girl's twerking."
Yeah, did you see that
yeah,
shit?
I saw that shit.
Twerking or whatever.
And he posted that it was like a exercise class right. Of a bunch of white women twerking.
Right,
in one
right,
room.
Right. Yeah. That might have came. I think the tweet came even before that, or maybe around the same. But that has come out too. Like all of these.
No, that was attached to his tweet.
Oh yeah? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When I saw it.
Okay. So yeah. So it was. Then we got into this whole thing of, like strip club culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, like if they had shot that shit in Miami, you'd have had to see. You'd have had to see some pink or whatever.
Well, nah,
I ain't saying pink.
You ain't had to go that far.
Obviously, you ain't gonna go that far because that's explicit.
It's definitely like a lot of clubs in the north are like titty bars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Where they don't take off bottles. That's not all. I don't even know because I ain't even been to none in New York ever. But that's just what they say.
Since the Giuliani era, I want to say that's when it started.
So, but in Miami, it's strip all the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Atlanta, same thing.
So, if you shot a stripper movie there, you would have to kind of follow along those lines.
Right. Well, you would think so because you're a bit, and not saying you in particular, but if you're being a purist about it, right?
Right.
Because that's the thing about it. Strip club is it's creep culture on a certain level. Maybe that's pejorative or whatever, but there's certain shit that go on in the strip club that is designated to go on in the strip club, right?
Right.
So when you reflect that, you know what I mean? If you being true to form, it would be a little bit more gritty. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and then, I guess for them to pull off these types of heists and all that shit, it would probably be more fitting to be at a gentleman's club. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So where you got suits as opposed to like the clubs that I've frequented as a youth. You know what I'm saying? It's just street niggas. You know what I'm saying? And regular, cats come from work, but it ain't no corporate suits coming in there hanging out. Not at the ones that was popping that we went to, the famous ones.
Right.
So maybe you could get it off at some, South Beach type of, situation.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, look, I've been in a lot of different strip clubs. I've been in corporate ones. I've been in hood ones. They get naked in strip clubs. The niggas could have a full-on three-piece suit on and there's some nudity going on, right? So, but it is what it is. I understand these are marquee names. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no real true reason to do that. But that was part of the conversation was how strip club culture has gone well beyond the strip club, but it's been kind of incorporated into everyday society where it's
it has been.
Yeah, so there's, there's pole dancing classes and there's this and the, there's twerk classes and da 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 da.
Right.
And it's watered down.
Well, it's another thing about, you got to tell this story about these women. And they probably was like, well, it ain't as much about the strip club and its culture as it is about these women trying to get by and get over.
Understood. I can dig it if you want to do that. But it's like saying you telling a story about drug dealers who got over and then you'll see nobody sell no crack vials.
When the drug dealers get over, you rarely see the action.
You see the drugs.
Not really. Like a lot of times. Listen, I'm not trying to be contrarian. I'm just saying, like a lot of drug dealers I knew growing up in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time, the action took place on the road, and then niggas come home, and then you never see them sell drugs. It's like, you know, niggas got cars and money, and they doing shit.
But you talk about from your lens.
From my lens.
What you seeing when they come back from selling drugs.
Right.
Right?
But, if you were at the place where they were selling drugs, you would see them selling drugs.
That's my point.
But again, in this particular story, and especially in this particular environment.
And I'm not making it specific all the way. Like, it don't have to be an indictment against Hustlers. I think Hustlers is a fun movie. I understand the choice that they made. Mm-hmm. But my point was, it felt a bit like a TV movie or a popcorn movie. Right. You know, it's like, it's a feel, right. It's kind of a little bit of a feel-good story that has a backdrop in the sex industry. So that's the weird part about it.
Right. I imagine it being the new millennial version of 9 to 5 or what's that other movie with the women who stole the money from the money ball in the mall? Well, it was like where the women it was like they got divorced and it's like suburbia, it's the '80s, and I think it's like it's 9 to 5 and then it's another one. High cost of living.
Okay, I never said
that. The high cost of living. And so they get in the bind, they stuck. They got these big suburban houses and shit and their husbands are not there no more. They trying to make it happen. And so they robbed the money ball from in the mall. So the mall had this money ball where you could reach in and grab as much as you can. Right. And then, you know what I'm saying? So they went in with a vacuum cleaner and sucked all the money out of the shit while the shit was going on. And that was their little heist. Mm-hmm. But it was more about commentary on women asserting themselves in the workplace, in the world where the culture was going, where men were kind of leaving women stranded. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen Hustlers, but I imagine, you know, you want to look at it from the lens of, okay, these women trying to make shit happen as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, the man's point of view of shit, this strip club need more motherfucking ass and titties. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
I see your point. I said that. I see the point, but I think when you talk about 9 to 5, you talk about high cost of living, they're not set in a strip club, right? So you know what I mean? And I dig it, because I'm saying, I'm on the man shit of the strip club need more ass, but I'm just saying it's a strip club, and that's the thing about this type of shit. And I'm cool because you want to be progressive and all of that shit, right? But there is a part of it where it's like, that ain't what it really is. You know what I'm saying? And then don't sell me that. Like, I dig it. We want to make it a little fuzzier than what it is. And I appreciate that because I understand what you're trying to do. It's a popcorn movie.
Right.
But I'm just like,
When you get into real strip club culture, then you have to take away all the things that are PC in this world today. Everything that we are trying to grow away from in the strip club, that shit is the culture. That is fair game.
Fucked
you know
up.
What I'm saying? You know, it's a vile place at times. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shit ain't sweet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers is going there doing shit and talking shit and requesting shit that regular people don't want to see on the screen or hear about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. They just want to see the part where, some nice heels, make a lot of money, shake some ass and get out of there, pay for school. When in real life, that shit is a lot more grimier. And you know what I'm saying?
It's an underworld.
It is the underworld. And then a lot of times, like when Cardi B told that story about, drugging the cat and robbing them and all that, what I say about, people like to glamorize street life, but when you really get into street life,
it's fucked up.
It's street life. You know what I'm saying?
That's my point.
And that shit ain't no PC place, and motherfuckers are getting robbed and fucking killed and drugged. Right. And, you know what I'm saying? Everybody looking for the one up on you.
Right.
And in that world, that's what it's all about. Who gonna get the up?
Right.
And when you go to work and you live in a regular PC world, you just want to be entertained. You want to pretend that type of shit don't exist.
Yeah. So that was what I thought was like maybe more of a like it could have been pushed the envelope just a little bit more, especially right. when you see TV push the envelope, right? Like this is an opportunity, and not to say that they did what they needed to do. The decision was the decision. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm just like when you're saying shit like Goodfellas or something like oh, that. Nah. Like this. Some gritty shit that'll happen. You like, oh right. shit, right? The stakes. This is for real. You right. know what I'm saying? This is not like a buddy film. Right. You know what I'm saying? Whereas it kind of was a little bit of a buddy film. It was a fun ride. This is, you know, shit. There might be somebody inspired to be like, you know what? I might want to be a stripper. It looked fun.
Right. And that's the shit that you gotta. No, that ain't how it go, baby.
That shit don't look like that in real life. But anyway, overall, man, yeah, it was cool. They've been saying that, you know, there's a lot of like Oscar buzz around right, J-Lo.
Around J-Lo.
So, you know.
So they mission accomplished, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, whoever the director was, they took it in the direction where they wanted to take it.
I forget her name. She also directed The Meddler. I forget her name, but I was listening to a podcast with her speaking about it. But
Lorraine Scafaria.
Yes, that's her.
She from Montclair.
Okay, Jersey. Yeah, she's a Jersey.
From Jersey. Not from Montclair, but she from Jersey.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, shout out. It hit big. It was a good one. There was another point that I was going. Oh, but it's kind of cool because she definitely come across like J-Lo the Don. Mm-hmm. And it's a good setup because I think the next thing she about to do, I think she's playing Griselda.
Griselda Blanco.
So that'd be a nice.
Yeah, it's a good transition. Nice
little move over. I like
Oscar
that.
Oscar buzz and then go and really kill it on some real gritty shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope that's gritty. Don't let that.
You can't do Griselda Blanco PC.
Don't do that. But no. Don't say you can't. Cause somebody will do it.
Nah, that's drugs.
Nora Ephron.
Was killing niggas in the street in her era about that.
Rest in peace, Nora Ephron. I think Nora Ephron might be dead. Matt, let me know if Nora Ephron is dead. If so, rest in peace, my bad. I need a different reference. Say? I was trying to think of like a rom-com. Somebody know. Yeah, she gone. He gave me the real somber. Yeah, that was inappropriate.
Griselda Blanco was responsible from anywhere from 40 to 300 murders.
Mm. So we got to get a few in 2 hours.
So, you know what I'm saying? She was called the Black Widow.
Yeah.
You know, she committed her first murder at age 11.
Damn, she's gifted.
So, and shit. She was murdered her damn self. So
live by the gun, die by the gun.
This can't be no motherfucking after school special.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's hope not.
This supposed to be the female Scarface.
Right, right.
Really?
Right.
Really and truly.
Actually, you know what? Back to that, not to the Scarface thing, but back to that analogy or comparison. At one point, you know, the goal, they were trying to get Scorsese to direct the film.
Which one?
Hustlers. And he passed on it. Mm-hmm. Laura, she wrote the script. Mm-hmm. And when she was writing it, she said she wanted to write the script. She wrote the script. She was like, you know, I put myself out there to be like, you know, I would love to, shit, I'm killing it as a script. I would love to fucking bring this shit to life visually. But it's the process, how it was she was hired just for the script. And, you know, they're still looking for the director. She kind of put it out there, you know, not in a, yeah, she put it out there to Adam McKay, who's one of the producers, and he was like, "Yo," he even kept it. He said, "Yo, I hope Scorsese passes, because if so, you know, you could do the joint." And there it goes. So it worked out.
And really,
it's a really good look.
Truly, it's a good look for women to be directed by a woman.
Of course,
you know what I'm saying? Because then you get the real sensibility of what they going through. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you directed the shit, we gonna do a lot of other shit too. You know what
yeah,
saying?
It's gonna
that might be counter, you know what I'm saying, counter to what we trying to accomplish.
It'll but be a different agenda.
You trying to keep it real.
Right. It's a different agenda. It's all, you know, everybody got their own point of view, and obviously things like gender will inform, or just, you know, your humanity will inform your point of view.
Especially when it comes to strippers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
there that go.
I'm going to go check it out.
You should check it out. I want to know what you think about it, man.
What it's all about, man.
It was fun.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. What else is cracking?
Nah, man. Crazy shit out here. As soon as we got off the motherfucking podcast last week talking about Antonio Brown.
All right. You kind of Mohamstradamus. You kind of said, yo, these motherfuckers is going to get grimy and they're going to get diabolical. They're going to get ruthless.
As soon as we got off, he got hit with the
two-piece now.
Well, I mean, it's relative.
Since we've been off the mic.
This is what I learned about during this week, about looking at how this was being reported.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's being blown up, like bigger than what it is. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he is being accused of two acts of sexual inappropriateness or whatever. Right. And then one act of rape, okay. Right? And then...
So three different women?
One woman. It's two women altogether, but right. I'm talking. And one woman, he has
two counts
of sexual, inappropriate behavior. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And then one count of rape.
Okay.
And then with the other woman, he has a count of sexual inappropriateness, whatever. Which she's not even pursuing it.
Okay.
She just, whoever did the article interviewed about 25 people that worked with him. And had some type of issue with him.
Okay.
So,
what was the article at? You know,
Sports Illustrated.
Oh damn, I didn't see that.
So in the first situation with the woman who was suing him for rape, she said he exposed himself and tried to kiss her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Against her will, and then their relationship went on and on and on, and then. I forget what the second one was. She tried to kiss her. Oh, then she said he bust on her back while she was watching church in his bed.
Hey. Oh shit.
You know what I'm saying? She said he masturbated and bust on her back.
Ooh.
And then on the third case, about a year later, he forced her to have sex.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So those are the things was being said about him on that case. And then on the new one in this new article, it's a bunch of people he owed money to that's in the article. You know what I'm saying? An assistant that put money on his credit card that he owed. You know, the videographer that he owed some money to. A doctor that he owed some money to, that he fought it while he was being examined. And then they kept saying he fought it in the man's face, but then TMZ had put out a video last year, whenever it happened, the video was up on TMZ.
He fought it while he was being examined?
Yeah, they was checking his body fat, uh-huh. And then he fought it, and he was like, my bad, dog, my bad. And then this dude keep going, and you know what I'm saying? Then he fought again. He was like, man, I've been eating a lot of fiber, man, my bad. So you know what I'm saying? And then on the video that is circulating, they cut the part off where he say, I've been eating a lot of fiber. Like, you know what I'm saying? Where it gets a little lighter.
Right.
So they cut it right to when he just do it. And then it's like, you just going to fart while I'm doing this shit? But, okay. So those, and then a bunch of people who he owe money to. So, the most serious thing is the rape case, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
which is the one that, you know, everybody's up in arms. But the way the shit is just being reported is just funny how, like, they'll be like, well, he's been accused of three rapes. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, he's not. Like, damn, that's not true. You know what I'm saying?
No, right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like every time you see a different article, it's like kind of –
It's the momentum.
Exaggerating it to where it's like sounds the way worse as it could sound.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the nigga, you know what I'm saying? Then in the article it say, you know, the police been to his house 18 times over the past whatever. But about 15 times he called. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of them, he called the police.
That's still a lot of police at your house.
But it's like, whenever the fire alarm go off, they come. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the fire alarm went off about 4 or 5 times. Then, you know what I'm saying? Because they were like, they came to the house because of burnt steak.
Okay.
It's like a couple of times the girlfriend was cooking and shit and the fire shit went off.
Cops is showing up because of a burnt steak.
When you live in a rich neighborhood, they don't want your shit to burn down, nigga. They showing up. Like, what's happening?
I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? Too much antsy cops. They sound like they ain't got shit to do.
Nah. I mean, it's part of, it's probably part of his security package or whatever the fuck he got. Like,
right, but hit me. Call me. Yo, what's going on? You burning a steak again? Nah, yo, got a full uniform with it.
So anyways,
18, but you said 15 times.
I don't know how many. I don't know the actual count. Okay. I just know when I'm reading, I'm like, oh, he called. On him. He called.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just funny how the shit is being reported.
Right.
Like, it's all said and done, and you know what I'm saying?
It's a character assassination.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, if he did it, he did it.
You know what I'm saying?
But you kind of feel as though.
I'm just watching. It's interesting how it's played out. Just like with Cap. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting how when you read the articles, it goes from him kneeling about, you know, police brutality and, you know what I'm saying, shit in the streets to just, you know, he riding against the troops and he motherfucking, you know what I'm saying, he's doing this and he's doing that. So it's all funny, like, especially when sports get involved, you know, people get real kind of crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if it's, especially if you root for the other team and shit like that.
You feel betrayed, so you want to see the worst for that motherfucker.
You see the worst, then you know what I'm saying, you got all of, it's real crazy. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not a sports fan like that, you know what I'm saying? And I haven't been watching football, like I mm-hmm. said last week. I haven't even been following him like that. I didn't know.
Yeah, because I'm curious, has he even played yet?
Yeah, he played last week. He played this week.
Did he get busy?
He got busy.
Oh, well, that's good.
Him and Brady look good. You know, I only watched it because.
Oh, I heard that. I saw somebody tweet about that. And that kind of fucked me up because on my TV, it said New England Patriots versus the Dolphins.
Right.
But it was the Giants game. It was the Giants and the Bills. But the shit clearly said New England. And I'm seeing niggas talking. And I'm obviously New York, so I should be happy to be seeing this New York versus New York ass game.
Right.
But I'm seeing on Twitter that he was destroying, like, early on in the shit.
And they just targeted him back to back to back. He got yards. He got busy. He caught a nice touchdown. All that shit. He did what they say he's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
See, Odell got busy too. Odell, but we'll talk about that after.
Odell got busy.
Yeah.
So he got busy doing all the kind of shit he do. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, this shit's just up in the air looming on his ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And see, here go the thing. Like, when we talk about strip clubs and shit like that.
Right.
Like, it's like, say, if you took a strip club life and really put it under the scope.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be like, oh my God, this is a vile place.
Mm-hmm.
This shouldn't even exist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just like when you take wild cats like that,
right,
and put them under the scope,
right?
It'd be like, yeah, well, goddamn. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? When you're just young, a cat you done plucked out the hood and gave millions of dollars to.
Yeah.
He out here running fucking wild.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I could only imagine. You know what I'm saying? The shit you get into when you fucking around like that, when you living life like that. You know what I mean?
Especially when you got so much that you can, it's available to you.
So much available to you. You don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You out here. I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you doing shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you gonna walk out down the girl butt ass naked, so I see painting a mural in your crib. You know what I'm saying? You ain't thinking nothing of it.
Cause you
take a nigga like that, you play football all your life. You've been walking around butt ass naked around niggas your whole fucking life in locker rooms.
Yeah.
You don't fucking.
But you know.
I know.
You know.
I know.
Niggas know.
Cause I know.
You know. I know. Butt ass naked or not.
I know. I definitely know. I'm a regular room. Motherfucker. I know. I'm not walking butt ass naked nowhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And especially in the locker room, I'm not walking butt ass naked.
No, but I'm saying, like,
listen. I'm not trying to say that he didn't motherfucker. I know he motherfucking know.
Wow.
Everybody know. But when you a wild, unchecked, entitled, you know what I'm saying, rich.
Yeah, you cross the line.
You crossing the line.
A lot.
And a lot of times, you crossing the line as a methodology of, all right, this is how I'm going to let you know I'm trying to fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that shit ain't going to work for you. That shit ain't going to work for me.
It might work for him.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Obviously.
It might have worked for him.
It might have worked for him plenty of times. So he come out butt naked, holding, you know, covering himself with the
right.
with the towel.
And not to say that that's the right thing to do. I just want to say this. What's the right thing to do? Just appear butt ass naked. I'm not casting.
We obviously know it ain't the right thing to do.
No, but obviously not. Because if this cat's still doing it, then it might not be. But this is my point. This is my point I want to make. Most, and I can speak for dudes.
Mm-hmm.
A dude will do some shit, and if it worked, there's a great chance that he gonna do that shit again. Cause it worked. Mm-hmm. It's like hunting, it's like fishing, it's like whatever, right? Especially if it is engagement. If it wasn't like, yo, that's the wrong thing to do. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If it worked, he might see it as, this is still part of the arsenal. It's part of the playbook. I'm gonna go to the old appear butt ass naked. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna walk out butt ass naked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you probably shouldn't walk out butt ass naked. You know what I mean? It's probably not gonna fare well for a lot of motherfuckers. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, if you got millions of dollars, you might feel like, you know what I'm saying? It's my house.
I commissioned
you to paint.
I'm just walking through my house.
Right.
I'm covered.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. With the leaf of
oh,
you Adam.
Were, oh, you was covered.
No, he covered his situation with the little towels. He said he covered his genitals.
Oh, well, that's, you know, not butt ass naked.
Well, he butt ass naked, but covering his genitals.
It's still inappropriate, but okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but the way she
played
it. But I'm just saying, she's not pursuing any charge.
Right.
But in the way that she played it, it sounds like real life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She was like, I knew he was flirting. That the whole time.
Right.
And he popped up butt ass naked holding the towel over his balls and shit.
Okay.
And I just kept working. I ain't pay that motherfucker no attention.
There you go.
And kept it moving. You know what I'm saying? But then she was saying that after that, he called her back to finish the piece. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He said he went to Miami and then, you know what I'm saying, got ghosts on the whole project.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I guess we supposed to assume that, you know, cause she ain't fucked.
Right.
He didn't finish the project.
Right.
That's the way the article was written. That's
he wanted
how we,
to show her his
That's
story.
How we were supposed to, that's what we supposed to think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
But we don't know. You know what I'm saying?
It could, yeah, who knows what it was. But, yeah, so, but, you know, once, you know, that's the thing. It especially, like, the thing is, like, you know, sometimes shit be misguided.
Obviously misguided.
Obviously, right? But then, and, like, again, like, if you are somebody that is not even just entitled, but, like, what's the word? Your shit is typically met. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, your behavior leads to engagement and satisfaction. Whatever. If this is how it typically worked for you, you know what I mean? Maybe this might be what's been working. Maybe this might be what's working. And you might not realize that shit is problematic until now the consequences come. Now this shit is in the suit. Now in the replay, it looks crazy when people are saying
that. And that's to say that if he did that shit.
If he did it. I'm just saying. Like, if he did it, like, you just realized when you hear it in the court document or you hear it in the transcript, you're like, damn, maybe...
But
coming out butt ass nigga might not be the move.
And that's the thing. That's another
unprompted.
That's another thing I learned with the court documents, right? Because we reading it with no context.
Yeah.
We read only context we have is the way that the story is written.
Right.
And so they dropped the documents, right, with the emails.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which people are saying he admitted to sexually assaulting her by saying he bust on her back. But then, as I'm going through it, I saw one take. I didn't see nobody else had this take. You know what I'm saying? And it was saying that he wasn't saying that he did it. He was saying that that's so crazy that you saying that I did that. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? He was basically like, I bust on your back. Like, it's supposed to have a question mark.
He was saying it rhetorically.
Like, yeah, I bust on your
back.
They
quoted him wrong.
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's just how he wrote it. It had an exclamation point.
Oh, it was on Twitter or some shit? Or
you know, they released
or text?
They released it like an email, I guess.
Okay.
And it's like, I bust on your back.
With no question mark? He ain't put no question mark?
No, it was just like an exclamation point. I slept with you, but then he went on to say, you slept downstairs on the couch.
Right.
Da 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 da. But everybody focused on the fact that it said, quote, unquote, I bust on your back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Ejaculated.
I ejaculated on your back. So, you know what I'm saying? It's interesting how, and no way or the other, it's just weird like how we get, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I read it the first time, I automatically assumed, damn, he's saying that he bust on her back.
How'd you find out that was a misquote? Like, where'd you have to go to do that?
It's not saying that
it's not a misquote, but like, how'd you find out he delivered it differently? Where'd you have to get that information?
I was just scrolling through Twitter and somebody had that take. Like, he didn't say that he did it. He didn't admit to it. He said that he's like, basically like, it's a rhetorical question. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I mean? I bust on your back. And then I'm like, oh, if you read it that way, then it's a different kind of, just a different connotation. So, in all this shit, like, whenever there's, like, social injustice, whenever there's these types of cases, that's all in the press, right?
Yeah.
Like, even with, and this is why, with Trayvon, right? When shit happened, and you're reading all this stuff about what went on, and I was way more invested. That's the last case I was really invested in. And you're reading all this stuff. And it's like, it comes to a point where, fuck all this talk. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear shit but the facts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Who, like, when the lawyers for the family start talking and this, that, and the third. Nobody, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear no lawyers. I want to hear what's the facts. You know what I'm saying? And in this particular case, like, all this other shit, I want to focus on the crimes. You know what I'm saying? I want to focus on what they saying about the rape shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What they saying about the shit that he did. Like, all that shit about he owed people money, farting the doctor's face, that ain't really something that affects the case to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's all. I'm like, you know, what did the NFL find mm-hmm. when they interviewed the girl? Not that we'll ever know, but I'm just saying that's the important shit.
You feel like some of this is manipulated.
Yeah, a lot of this shit
to make you feel a certain way.
A lot of this shit is driven to point you in a certain direction.
Right.
And I think everybody get caught up in that. And everybody choose a side right away and say, this or nah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, hell nah, you know, gotta believe. Or, you know what I'm saying? Oh, she's a money grab.
Right.
It's believe or money grab. And how it really plays out is there's some area in between where there's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's where you want to focus.
No, nuance ain't sexy in the media.
Nah.
It's fucked up, but that, you know, that's the truth. It's like, you know, most people don't even read past the headline. So, you know.
Exactly.
And to your point, it could be orchestrated, a lot of this. The timing of it feels very convenient, not to undermine any of the accusations, because if they're just, but it just definitely feels like, wow, you know, you just liked two tweets about Roethlisberger and his rape allegations, and then
voila,
look at your timeline.
Look at me now.
Karma working fast.
Then a motherfucker.
Yeah, man.
You know,
we'll see what happens.
It's just weird because, you know, they say they've been working through they was trying to get a settlement done or whatever, like from April. And then the deadline was like the day before they actually went on ahead with the suit.
Yeah.
Like, and then when I'm looking at the dates and shit, the emails that he sent her with the, you know what I'm saying, I bust on your back.
Right.
Was from June. So he probably, so in my own speculation, is that, oh, he probably read the transcript of what the accusations was and was replying to that. Because we don't see what he's replying to.
Right.
We just see his side.
This is on Twitter. He said that?
No, this is on an email that's released with the court documents. So we don't see what he's replying to or what, you know what I'm saying, the other side of the conversation was.
Right.
We just see him saying, I bust on your back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And all this other shit, just disparaging her and shit.
Right.
Which don't look good, you know what I'm saying, as far as who he is and how he, you know what I'm saying, how he's talking. He's talking reckless. Like, you know what I'm saying? Your mama ain't shit. You a hoe. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Y'all trying to get this money, but you got the wrong one this time.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? You thought it was going to be a come up. But it's not, you dumb motherfucker. You know what I mean? So that shit don't look good in writing. You
know what I'm saying? It looks like, too defensive.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you cussing somebody out, nobody ever hears it or sees it.
Yeah.
It's different. But that shit don't look good on no motherfucking email.
Nah, you gotta be ready for that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, shit.
But yeah.
That shit got consequences. Speaking of consequences, did you see this story about Shane Gillis? He's a comedian.
Yeah, I had to, you know, go back and see what was what.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? On the videos and shit.
Yeah.
So he was out there.
He was wilding out. He was wilding out. Shane Gillis, for those that don't know, I'm sure you probably, well, maybe not. Shane Gillis is a comedian out here in New York. I've probably met him before. I know of him. I don't know if we know each other like that, but he's a comedian. He, him and two other comedians just were selected to be castmates on the new season of SNL. Bowen Yang, and there's this one woman that does a bunch of different impressions. She got picked up. I forget her name. We'll find out in a second. Mm-hmm. And Shane Gillis. So, as it is in recent times, I typically, especially as it relates to comedians in particular, when it's a high, like a highly sought after opportunity or some shit,
mm-hmm.
and I see like the deadline announcement come out, it almost feels like there's this countdown to where we're gonna find out if your ass deserved this job or not, if you did some dumb shit in your past, because now it's the deadline is on. Once the deadline hit, the deadline is on. Somebody's going to scour your shit, and they're going to see what's what. They're going to pull things up.
Like, why wouldn't they do that shit before they announce the motherfucker?
That was, I feel like that was my point. And they, when SNL finally let him go, they spoke to that in the press release. They were like, you know, we should have vetted better. Which kind of, you know, like they apologized for it, but it's kind of like, yeah, y'all should have vetted better. You know what I mean? Like, you know, today most comedians got podcasts and all types of other shit. But mm-hmm. I guess who's trying to listen through hours and hours and hours of a podcast? You know what I'm saying? Maybe they look mm-hmm. at his stand-up. Maybe they look at whatever. I don't know what the vetting process is. Maybe it needs to be way more thorough. Because right. if these the person who uncovered this stuff was easy to find the shit.
Well,
you know,
it's like they say, the internet never forgets.
Nah, the internet. It's a, but you got to realize the internet is just one interactive transcript. You know what I'm saying? When you doing anything on this internet, or when you upload some shit to an internet, you are putting yourself onto public record.
Right.
You know, forever. Even if you think you could take it down immediately after, somebody might have fucking downloaded that shit, screenshotted that shit. That shit is more often than not, once you release it into the world, it's in the world. It's on public record. It can be found. These receipts are available.
Yeah, and then when public sentiment changes and policy changes
right.
in 10, 15, 20 years, that shit's still there.
Right, so you're always gonna have to speak to it. Now, it's weird, because I'm trying not to get caught up in this whole the sky is falling hysteria that is kind of seems to be overtaking the comedy community amongst comedians and shit like that. You can't say nothing nowadays, motherfuckers is coming for you, da-da-da-da-da. Like, part of being a good comedian, obviously with this freedom of speech, but and your intent is, you know, more often than not to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? More often than not, I don't even want to make it seem like there's a book of laws or whatever, but more often than not, if you're a comedian, your intent is to make motherfuckers laugh or think or whatever, but more often than not to malign or shit on people or to destroy them. You know what I mean? You might use language that could be offensive or troubling or whatever. And that's where the craft of the art comes in. Because now if you start to use language that's going to trigger motherfuckers, you need to have a full-on plan for what you're attempting to do, how you're going to carry it out, how you're going to fully execute it, how you're going to get to this punchline to where everything is like, you get it, you see, ha-ha! But also, you got to know what every attempt is, consequences. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. You know, there is, you know, obviously, I'm a comedian, you know what I mean? So I'm definitely on some freedom of speech shit. I'm definitely on some, you know what I mean? Like, you should protect the freedom to explore your thoughts and mm-hmm. to present these people to people, especially people that came to see you or came to see comedy, came to, you know what I mean?
I don't think that part has changed.
No. Well, do you talk to certain people, they feel as though the entire shit is under attack. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's under attack in ways where you can say what the fuck you want.
Well, this is my point. You could say what the fuck you want, but you got to deal with the ramifications for what you say. You can say whatever the fuck you want in the room, and you might lose the crowd. Niggas might walk out. Somebody might storm the stage. Motherfuckers might be waiting for you afterward. There's a mm-hmm. lot of different things that could go on with that.
Right.
But if you know what you're getting yourself into, or you know what you're saying, and you know what I mean? You know what you're dealing with. You should be aware of the fact that there's consequences, right? So he said some, you know, he said he was on his podcast, him and another comic, and you know, they were talking about, I guess he was telling a story about going to Chinatown, and he was going crazy, he was saying slurs and, you know, wild shit, right? And if I was Chinese, I'd be sick. You know what I'm saying? I'd want to steal this nigga. You know what I mean? If this is my first introduction to him, I'd be like, yo, fuck this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Because it just felt like, damn, son, that's how you feel? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like it was a bit, right? It didn't feel like it led to anything. It felt like I'm just going off of how it felt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Damn, it felt like you just shitting on our people. Right. You know what I'm saying? And of course, people gonna feel a way about that shit, right? And, you know, you knew that when you did it. There's times when we on this mic, it's not often, but we might say some shit that might put some, you know, we might say a name or something like, yo, make sure you take that name out because we don't want to have it.
Or we might say some wild shit,
you know, and we're like, yo, mark that.
Somebody might be like, I don't like drug dealers and all kind of shit that I might have said some shit about, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the thing about it is, it goes like this. You're going to say what you're going to say, and you're going to be who the fuck you was, and you're going to transition to who you is, and people might have something to say about it. But there are places where that shit, what you said, is more detrimental than others. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So if you're trying to go on NBC fucking C.
Mm-hmm. The Peacock.
The Peacock, which already done had its own share of fucking, you know, like all those networks have had their own share of things in this Me Too era.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Where slick shit will get your shit investigated.
Right. So, or just controversy.
Yeah, controversy, investigations, lawsuits, mm-hmm. money. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that shit, like, you know, it ain't sweet out here. So when you're trying to go into the system,
right?
A lot of times, you know what I'm saying, that shit could hurt you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's how they say, motherfucker, you got tattoos on your face, you might not be able to get no job.
Yeah.
So if you're out here slanging, you know what I'm saying, slurs for clout on the internet,
right?
It might fuck you up in the mainstream
right.
part of the system.
And my thing is, just don't be surprised when the consequences come. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you knew what it was. You know what I'm saying? Even in that moment, you knew it. Even my man was like, yo, you okay, that was nice racism. You doing it. You going for it. You know what I mean? I noticed, with like looking at a lot of this shit, I found this term. I never heard this before. I guess it's like, I don't know, it's fairly new. Edgelord. You ever heard this shit before? Edgelord? Edgelord mm-hmm. is like people that kind of you know, like they stir the pot. They say real triggering shit to kind of get a reaction or whatever. That's what they're kind of called or whatever. I don't attribute that to him, but I just see that popping up into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's very, one, it's interesting that that's a whole new term. Two, I think anything for shock and that's it, I'm not a big fan of it, but what?
Maybe that's how he felt.
That's the thing. You could also. That's the thing, because it was also like, since it, you know, a podcast is different. Obviously, podcast is different from when you on stage. You know what I'm saying? Like,
He looked like he was real comfortable in just saying what he was fucking saying.
He might have been saying it to get a reaction. He might have been like, you know, I'm going to double down and I'm going to go hard. Because I'm not going to lie, a lot of comedians do that shit. You know, words are power. You deal with words. You know what the fuck you're going to do. You know how you know what I mean? But at the same time, long as you know that everybody ain't on board with everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's fucked up. I don't say it's fucked up. I think he's gonna be all right, but
he's
gonna be fine. But you know, a lot of people is like, damn, it's, you know, it's fucked up. This cat lost this big opportunity or whatever. As in, you know, he says some wild shit.
But there's a lot of people who ain't said no wild shit that ain't never got the opportunity.
Yeah, man.
So you know what I mean?
It is what it is, got it, man. And lost it.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know what I mean? Shit, you do some shit, you 15, you do some crime shit, go to jail, then you get out in the world, you try and get your life together, try to get a job and shit, and it come back. That ain't nothing new. You know what I'm saying? It happens to the best of them.
I think I'm cool. Like, I understand that shit. Maybe one, because I'm black. You know what I'm saying? And black people, we see the consequences. Yeah. You know what I mean? A lot. Sometimes even the action
deserve the consequences.
Nah, but sometimes you just gonna get the consequences just in case.
Well, you know, you're just too black.
So it's always funny when I'm seeing like a lot of white people like, yo, I can't believe this. This guy had a dream. You know what I mean? Did this. Whatever, whatever. And it's like, I get it. You know what I mean? I feel you and all that. But shit is wild, nigga. It's consequences. Motherfuckers felt the way.
You know what I'm saying?
And You know what you're dealing with when you say what you're saying. Because you
NBC got advertisers. NBC got audience that, you know what I'm saying, they responsible for. So once that wave get going, this who y'all hiring, this what all these comedians out here, this the one that you going to put on to represent you, the face of your company, your brand, and your audience, and your fucking advertisers. You know what I'm saying? The Chinese people probably like, I ain't with that shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was interested. I didn't see a lot of, because I mean, I've seen a lot of like comedians and comedy people, like fans of comedy, kind of about the story or like media. Surprisingly, I didn't see a whole lot of like Chinese people weighing in. I don't know if it went.
Maybe
like,
they don't use the Twitter.
No, I don't know. But I was waiting for that. Like, I was waiting for that. I saw Andrew Yang said he wanted to sit down with them.
Maybe they got their own, you know, kind of, I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a whole
representative that show up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Al Sharpton and shit.
No, but to that point, because there's also a lot of people talk about, you know, like to that point not too long ago, Lil Peep, I think it was, said some shit. Might have said the same slur. And did his eyes, you know what I mean? Like to make it look like Asian eyes or whatever. There's some shit in the video. And there's a rapper, China Mac. You know China Mac? I fuck with China Mac. China Mac stepped to him. You know what I'm saying? And it was a consequence in real time, right, in real life. And I think that, you know, you see that shit in certain other maybe there needs to be more of that.
Maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe he doesn't need to get blowed on live on Saturday Night Live.
You know, you're like, oh shit, this shit could happen. You know what I'm saying?
Bet he won't do it again.
Yeah. But anyway, so you know, it is what it is, man. I don't really, obviously. I will say this as a comedian, I'm a free speech proponent, but at the same time, as a person, a human being, as a black man, I do understand that there's a lot of consequence for what you say. So if you're gonna say some wild shit, don't be surprised if some shit gets snatched, some wild shit happen to you, or there are, you know, consequences and
repercussions.
Yeah, there you go. But so there that go, man. Anyway, you got anything else you want to say before you get out of here? Tell the people where you at.
I'm out here, man. Catch me on the gram. You know what I'm saying? Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to a king called Dre on Instagram, you know, rolling up on us last night, you know.
Peace.
You know what I'm saying?
Rolled
up on us like, you know what I'm saying? Tell a friend to tell a friend what up.
That was dope.
You know what I'm saying? So peace. Shout out to Dre out there, you know what I'm saying, for listening. Appreciate you.
Shout out to the cast that's hitting me about this one tab challenge. A lot of people tapping out. This shit is tough. I'm not going to lie to you.
I got about 100 tabs open right now.
I'm still trying to keep strong to that shit. I have to close maybe 3 or 4 every so often because them shits be popping up. But I'm trying to stick to it. It's tough. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anyway, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We are out. Peace.
Conversation.